Welcome back to the Be Real, episode 35. Like we said last week, we're kind of shifting away from the visuals for a bit. We're looking for a videographer to get that quality video content for YouTube. Like, the phone's been doing justice, but we went from having a studio earlier in the podcast journey, and we kind of want to get back to that feel because it was just more professional, and it also kind of helps spotlight a collaboration between people that have that, you know, innate ability and gift to make great visuals and put that stuff together. So we're in the market for one.
Somebody that wants to grow. Somebody that wants to produce and be creative.
You know what I mean? And put your touch to it. So if you know anybody or you are somebody, reach out. Let us know. But for the time being, we're just going to stick to the audio and really focus on Spotify, because also people have been telling us they listen to the podcast while they drive, and you can't really listen to a YouTube video while you drive. So Spotify just makes it easier for our traveling.
You get distracted because I'm too handsome.
Anyway, so episode 35, cool episode, cool concept. It's facing fears. In life, we all have fears. I recently learned that when we were born, we're born with two innate fears, and that's the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And those are the only two fears that we're like born with and wired with. From there, everything else is conditioned based off experiences and just kind of like how you grow up in life. So for me, I am afraid of two things, like deathly: snakes and open water. And you put them both together, I'm out. Like, I'm checked out fully. So snakes and open water are two of my most, like, if I see a snake, I don't care how big, how small, I'm out. Like, you ain't have to, like, if you see me just run out of nowhere, anywhere, it's because I just saw a snake. Like, if we're out on a hike and you just see me peel, that's why. That's it. You have a snake in your hand, I'm not coming near you. Like, we're back the F off. Leave me alone. I'm not dealing with that. So, snakes and open water. And I think open water because I'm not the best swimmer. I can survive. Like, I'll doggy paddle and I can do that. And if I see land, I'll swim to land. But if you put me in open water and I don't see anything around me to swim to, I'm checking out. Like, I'm going under. Like, that's it. That's all I got for you. So this podcast is about facing fears. And I'm not going to really dive into how I'll face those fears. Like, maybe one day I'll be cool with a snake in the room. But growing up, I've had the fear of heights and stuff like that. So I'll go into how I conquered those fears and, you know, I'll dive into that. Anything you want to say to introduce and start out?
I asked my mom yesterday. I was like, what do you got? What are some of your thoughts on that? Facing your fears. She was just like, well, what else are you going to do? Keep running? Yeah. She said, what, are you going to run your whole life? You're going to be a scaredy cat? Like, heck no. Like, of course you got to face your fears. That's how you get over things. Or then you learn how to have a true respect and appreciation for whatever you were fearful of. Like, that realization is rationalized then. So I thought that was pretty cool, man. She just straight off the dome and right away she's just like what? You better turn around. Yeah. you better go right through that. You'll never know who you are, what you're made of. Like, you can't live life scared. You can't live life scared of anything. You gotta trust, you gotta have faith and believe in yourself and believe in your higher power and to like, you will be okay. Facing your fears, just getting over things. It's irrational, right? Because we make up a lot of it and it's in our head. It's all in our head. Rather than facing what's right in front of us and dealing with it. And then adjusting as you go. Don't freeze up. Don't be that deer in the headlights. You know what I mean? You gotta act. You gotta act.
Yeah, it's that fight or flight mechanism that ignites inside of us when we deal with these situations.
Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways to calm that situation down when you get into that mode is breathing.
Yeah.
Focusing on being present in the moment rather than like just spacing out like freaking.
Yeah.
and just becoming aware, becoming hyper aware of everything that's going on around you. It's kind of cool because when you can kind of slow time down. Like, I don't know if you've ever had any experiences like that, even jumping out the plane, I don't know. But like, when I got in a car accident when I was younger, and it was like I saw the hood crumple up in slow motion. Like, I turned around, I saw my dog flying through the back seat. Like, yeah, like it's like, I don't know. You'll be all right. Just you gotta do something about it. You can't just sit there and be scared and be fearful. It's all in your head.
Yeah, because there's that saying that fear kills everything it touches. So if you're in a state of fear and panic and you're not under control in that situation, you're not doing anything. You're just killing yourself. You know,
it's false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, and with that slowing things down, like that's very true. Like, that's that fight or flight, and you can do that with breath. And one of the techniques I learned for breath in those moments of fear is breathe in for 4, breathe out for 6. And that's kind of how they broke it down, something that's like maintainable. But the key is, really, it doesn't matter what your count is, but your exhale should be longer than your inhale, and that puts your body in a natural state of calm and relaxation. So it starts to slow things down. To get back to what you said about jumping out the plane, that was crazy because I had no fear. Like, the whole ride up, like, it was so casual. Like, I didn't have any nerves, no panic. And I was like, am I okay? Like,
you got a death wish? Like, are you looking to die?
Like, am I okay to jump? Like, am I really, like, about to do this for the right reasons? But then, like, when you're in there, you have to go tandem your first time. So when you're up there, finally got to the top of the dropping point. I already saw 2 people jump before me at the halfway point. Nothing. So I get to the top, still nothing. But I got someone on my back. And then when you go out, you have people filming you. So they go out first and they kind of hang on to the plane. And then I go out. But with someone on my back, they're still in the plane. I'm hanging out the plane. So I'm just dangling over the edge of a plane, only secured by the guy with the parachute on. And I got no parachute on, so like that feeling.
It's like extreme amusement park ride.
No, that
feeling, I don't like roller coasters.
That's when my heart was going. I was like, all right, we're good. We're normal now. And then they said, 3, 2, 1, let's jump. And then boom. And by that point, it's over because like, well, you can't back out. Like, I'm already falling.
Reach so, back up. Like, no. So climb back in.
Took all of that. Enjoyed it, bro. It was so cool. Such a rewarding experience. And it's done so quick. But I will do it again. I'll definitely skydive again. And that's not how I conquered my fear of heights. My fear of heights was conquered at a young age just by riding roller coasters. Like, I used to hate roller coasters. I used to hate going to the top of skyscrapers and like stuff like that. But just doing it more and putting myself in that situation. Like, now I love heights and that skydiving. Like, I'll definitely do that again. And I want to get to the point where I can jump on my own. But it's one of those hobbies that's, you know, it's costly. You gotta pay to play until I get my own plane, and then it's just like, all right, bet, come find me.
You're gonna have a little twin engine jet, whatever that's called.
Jump out.
That's the same thing. What you say, just continuously like acclimating yourself to it is anything, man. Anything that you start, you're gonna look sloppy or not be naturally good at it, but you keep practicing, and then you become good at it, right?
Right.
It's the same thing as just, like, easing your nerves, like, for boxing, like, and sparring. Trying to get used to being in that situation, right? Like you used to say, it's like the scrimmage before football season. Like, everything, like, you have to go near it. You have to look it head on and say, this is what I'm dealing with.
Right.
Why do I feel this way? What are those feelings that are coming up, and how am I going to get over this? How do I manage this? How do I move on, move forward stronger, more confidently? You know what I mean? And it's like you said, just doing it. Just doing it. You got to do it.
And I feel like that too, like when you first brought this topic up of something to talk about, like the first thought that came to my mind was facing fears. That's just getting rid of limiting thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like that's self-limitation and self-doubt, because honestly, you can conquer anything you put your mind to. And like you said, fear is an illusion, and fear kills everything it touches. So it's the matter of defeating that illusion and being stronger than what you're perceiving, being able to shift your mindset to that fight. And it doesn't have to be fight, like physical, but fight means survive. Like fight or flight, survive or run. And running doesn't necessarily mean surviving. Running's a state of panic, and that could lead to something worse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Versus fight and just conquer that shit head on. And when it comes to that brick wall adversity, I'm going through that thing, you know? So it's that too. It's eliminating those limiting thoughts and that self-doubt, because that in itself is fear. You're not giving yourself the chance to be the individual you are by not being strong, by not giving yourself that strength to pursue and to endure. Like, that's why for me, I end all my four quarter sessions with a plank. And while they're in that plank, I'm like, you've done the physical work, you've done the grit and the grunt. This plank is putting everything together, and now you're working that mental grit, like that mental toughness, like really slowing time down and putting all together and fighting that here, like fighting up top, because the grunt's over. Now you just gotta hold this position for 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, just fight it. And when you feel that fatigue, or you feel that like, oh, I can't do it, that in itself is a limiting thought when you really, you can. Something so simple, you know? So, don't really know where I was going with that, but
it makes sense. It makes sense. It's strong. Bringing the mind back into it, centering yourself, and knowing that I already did all the hard work. What is 60 seconds of just holding this thing?
Mm-hmm.
What is 60 seconds of holding my body up?
Mm-hmm.
I can push through. I can make it through. A lot of training is mental, man. A lot of training. A lot of training.
It's your strongest muscle is your brain.
On mental toughness.
it's huge. And yeah, facing fears.
So if we're talking mentally strong, describe to me somebody who is mentally weak.
Mentally weak, from first glance, just coming off the top of the dome, I'm imagining somebody that's constantly making excuses and constantly playing victim. Like, no matter what you tell them, no matter what they do or what you do to help them, they're always going to find a way to be the victim. They're always going to find a way to flip it to be negative. They're going to find a way to have it play their narrative of not wanting to do the work, not wanting to endure the pain. Because on the other side of pain is success. The other side of pain is the glory. Like, you got to suffer to get where you want. It's not easy. Nothing in life worth having is easy. So it's the people that don't want to put that work in. They don't want to do that heavy lifting, that grunt work, that shit that's going to challenge them to the core. Like, to me, that's someone that's mentally weak. And not because they can't do it, because they know they can do it, they just don't want to. To me, that's mentally weak.
They know they can do it, but they don't want to.
Like, they don't do it because of that mere fact. They know what it takes, they know that they want to do it, they know that they can do it, they're fully capable, but they don't want to.
I mean, and they want to sit there. Why do they have to?
They want to sit there. They don't have to. I'm not. But they want to be the first ones to play the victim, when they know that to not be in the situation of victim, what they have to do, but they're not. They're not. They're not doing that part of the work.
Gotcha.
Yeah. To me, that's mentally weak.
Like, how does one begin to toughen? I'm thinking about a child. How do you strengthen one's mental game? How do you strengthen one's thinking?
As a kid, I think as a kid it's tough. I mean, from my childhood, I think being raised an only child, but having a big family, I still spent a lot of time to myself. A lot of my time was self-reflecting. Like, a lot of my mental maturity was based off observations and acting through observations. So I learned a lot by being on the outside looking in. And when I did have questions, I would bring those questions up, knowing that I could ask those questions to my mom or to any one of my aunts and uncles about what was going on. But for the most part, like, having that time and that that upbringing by myself. Like, I really just had myself. So aside from like the friends I made in growing up, a lot of my time was spent with me. And that's kind of why I am the way I am, as far as being like exclusive.
Okay, so then how did you develop your mental strength?
Observation, and then questions when needed, but observation of, can like, it's being a sponge. So seeing how people move and seeing how people act and seeing how people that I respect move and seeing what they were going through, the trials and tribulations, and just operating based off that. So a lot of my lessons were learned on my own through observations of other people. And I just shaped up into the mold that we are here today. And then sports. Like, sports is a big key factor because it taught me a lot of characteristics and traits that help shape my life to discipline, responsibility, accountability, leadership, being consistent, which kind of goes back into discipline, and then adaptability, like being able to like act on a situation without hesitation, like being able to play that play, because it's not going to go as written every time. So being able to make an adjustment on site to make that play work, to get those extra 2 to 3 yards because I took a step here instead of here, or I held my block this much longer, or I helped on that double team, like stuff like that. So just being aware of my surroundings and sports is great because it teaches you so many foundation and fundamental things in life. But yeah, for me, for sure, it was just a lot of observation. Kind of grew up a loner. Still kind of a loner, but like, I'm a social loner, you know?
Facing your fears. Opening yourself up, being vulnerable. Taking charge, taking things head on, being courageous.
Vulnerability is huge too. Don't be afraid to open up. Because as much as you may feel like you're on your own, there are people out there in your corner that are willing to help, but they can't help you unless you ask for it. Because they can't read your mind of what you're going through. I think that's a misconception a lot of people have of like, oh, well, you should have known I felt like this, but you really can't tell. Like, some people have off days, some people have bad days, some people just have a great poker face. So you never really know what's going on until it's vocalized. So
that's why checking in is so important.
Yeah.
Very how you important. How you doing? How you feeling? It's been a while, but you've heard that before. How are you? We care.
Right. It's not a place of just petty conversation. It's a place of actual concern and like curiosity.
Always. But I think that's about a wrap. That sounds pretty good, man. Fears.
You say a lot on facing your fears, bro.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't talk about any fears you had that you had to face.
Nigga, I talked about boxing. I talked about a bunch of stuff. Like, what, look, are you looking for something particular? You got a question?
Yeah.
I don't, that's why I had to ask my mom's, because, like, what she said is what I do. I face it on. What am I going to run from it? Adverse. I think about it. You face it, you come up against adversity. Sometimes you gotta backtrack, you got a game plan. Sometimes you get popped in the face. Sometimes you just learn from the mistakes. Sometimes you stumble. Sometimes you fall. Sometimes you got to get up. Right. But it don't matter because you are you scared of it? No. All right then. So keep it moving. Right. I don't got no fear, bro. I got God, nigga. Like, I ain't worried about shit.
Yeah, move with faith, not fear. Having that belief, that's big. That's big. That can be touched.
That's exactly how I opened it up. You just want me to get mad. So with that out, I'm out, y'all. Peace.
Struck a nerve. All right. Life's only one take, so be real, because there is no be real. Till next time.